every Shabbat we have three portions that we do. I've recorded the first one, which of course is the Parashat Tidbit. The other one is that we're teaching on Bamidbar right now, but I've done every study of Genesis through Deuteronomy, and we go through them every Sabbath. And but they're too long to record because people will just get totally disinterested by the time of the end. So I only record what the Torah Tidbit and then what I read in the Apostolic Scripture, or what I've come up with the Apostolic Scripture. And this time it's 1 Peter 5, and it begins with saying, "The elders who are among you, I exhort." So this is Peter talking to the people, and he says, here Peter is petitioning the elders of the community to stand with him in spreading the teaching of our Heavenly Father's eternal truth, the words of his Torah of life, also known as the good news, his gospel of truth. Peter says, "I'm also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Messiah." Peter is not only speaking of the suffering that Messiah experienced at his crucifixion, for I believe that was only a small part of the overall suffering that Messiah went through. I believe that the real suffering that Messiah was going through was because he saw firsthand the lies that the religious leaders of the house of his father were peddling to his heavenly father's children, and the fact that a lot of them, if not most of the people of Jerusalem and Judah, were believing these lies, these false man-made doctrines. For Messiah knew that unless they somehow changed their minds and willingly chose of their own accord to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our heavenly father, then they were heading onto eternal and everlasting damnation. And Messiah, who shares the very same love for the Father's children as the Father does, was in pain because of the potential loss of all these unsuspecting, foolish children of Elohim. Then Peter says something that affects all of us. He says that he is also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What do you think this glory that shall be revealed is? That Peter is saying, or that Peter says he's a partaker of. The glory that Peter is talking about, my friends, is salvation, which only happens at the end of the seventh millennium, when all the graves shall be opened on Resurrection Day, and all people that have been born, lived, and or died since the beginning of time will be brought before the judge of the whole earth, Messiah, the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, to see if they willingly chose to obey his words of life, his Torah, or reject the words of the Father's Torah of life. On that day, the people will come out of their graves and be judged. And according to what Messiah said on John 12, they will be judged by the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. John 12, 44 to 50 is very important that you understand what it's saying here. Yeshua cried and said, "He that believes me," and he happens to be the words of the living Torah made flesh, "does not only believe me, but he believes him that sent me," which of course is our Heavenly Father. "And he that sees me also sees him that sent me." He sees the Heavenly Father. "I am come as light into the world, that whosoever believes me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and does not believe, I, Messiah, do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and does not receive nor believe my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the words that the Father commanded me to speak, which of course are the words of his Torah of life, these very same words shall judge him in that day. For the words that I, Messiah, have spoken are not of me, but they are from the Father, who sent me, and he gave me a commandment of what I should say and what I should speak, which of course are the words of his Torah of life. Proverbs 3:1, "My son, do not forget my Torah, but let your heart keep my commandments." And continue on with verse 50, "And I know that his commandments is life everlasting. Whatsoever therefore that I, Messiah, speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak only the words of his Torah of life." It is or should be very, very obvious by what Messiah himself said in John 12 that he himself lived by and only spoke the words of the Father's Torah, the words of our Heavenly Father's commanded him to speak. And furthermore, Messiah made it very clear in John 12 and other places that he only did what he saw the Father doing. John 5:19 confirms that. Then answered Yeshua and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing, absolutely nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things the Father does, these very same things does the Son do likewise. Therefore, Peter is telling us that all the people who willingly and lovingly chose to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of the Father's store of life, are the ones that will experience the glory of Yahweh firsthand and on a continuous daily basis for eternity. For that is what the Father has promised all his Torah obedient children. And Yahweh only speaks the truth. Verse 2, feed the flock of Elohim which is among you. What does Peter mean when he tells us to feed the flock of Yahweh? Does that mean that the elders are supposed to have a barbecue every day for the people of Yahweh so that they can satisfy their physical hunger? The answer, of course, is a resounding no. That is not what Peter meant. Well then, what is it that the elders are to feed the flock of Elohim with? They are to feed the flock of Elohim with the bread of life. Well, if that is indeed the case, then we had better know what the bread of life is according to Scripture. John 6:35 hints at what it is. And Yeshua said unto me, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never, ever, ever go hungry. And he that believes me, the words that I speak, shall he never thirst. As you can see, Messiah described himself as the bread of life. Now, let's analyze this statement for a moment. If Messiah says he is the bread of life, and in John 1:1 and John 1:14, we are told, in the beginning was the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And in verse 14, we are told that the Word that became flesh dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then that means that Messiah is the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, which in turn means that the Torah, all the words of his Torah, is the bread of life. Scripture defines what the word truth means in many of the scriptures. Yahweh's Torah of life. Psalm 119:142, it says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. Yahweh's commandments in Psalm 119:151, he says, your commandments were true from the beginning. His word in Psalm 119:160, and in John 17:17, your word, speak the word of truth because your word is truth. And his gospel in Ephesians 1:13, he says, the gospel is called the gospel of truth. If you look up all these verses, you will see that all the words that Messiah speaks are defined as our Heavenly Father's eternal truth. Therefore, when Peter is telling these elders to feed the flock of Elohim, you can rest assured that Yahweh is telling Peter to tell his disciples to feed the flock of Elohim with the words of the Father's Torah of life, which includes all of his commandments, all his word of truth, his Torah, his gospel. You might say, well, I understand what his commandments, his word, and his gospel is, but his Torah is so broad, that is hard to define. Well, Yahweh has heard your question before you even uttered it, and he gave you an answer to that question in 1 Kings 2:3, where he tells us that what his Torah is made up of. When David was speaking to his son Solomon, he said, my son, keep the charge of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe. Why? So that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you find yourself. So you see, if you take all of Scripture as one book, you should then it is pretty obvious that Peter is telling these elders to feed the flock of Yahweh with his truth. The words are Heavenly Father's Torah of life, the very same Torah that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai. And if you still have some doubts about that, then let's read a couple of more verses that I think will help to clarify it even more. Exodus 19:9, and Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, and he said, lo, I come unto you, Moshe, in a thick cloud, so that all the people may hear, so that they may shema, which means so that they may hear, listen, pay very close attention to, understand, believe, follow, and obey what you have heard Yahweh command you when I speak with you, Moshe, and believe you, Moshe forever. So Yahweh wants us to believe Moshe and what he wrote forever. Okay?
Forever means forever.
Yeah. Yahweh makes it abundantly clear that he wants all of his people, his sheep, his children, to believe Moshe forever. And just in case you are not sure and you think that this is only an Old Testament teaching, Yahweh has made sure that you know that this is an everlasting teaching. For he says in John 5:45-47, do not think that I, Messiah, will accuse you to the Father. No, I'm not going to do that. There is one that accuses you, even Moshe, in whom you say you trust. For had you believed Moshe, then you would have believed me. For Moshe wrote of me. But if you do not believe Moshe's writings, which is the Torah, the words of the Torah of our heavenly of Yahweh, how then shall you believe my words? This is Messiah speaking. Next, we see that Peter is admonishing these elders about taking the oversight thereof. Now, not by constraint, not by forcing nor shaming people, but willingly, let them come of their own accord. Not for filthy lucre. Don't you dare do this for money. There were no TV evangelists in those days who continually demand that the people send them money. But of a ready mind, but with a surrendered heart and mind that is willing to serve Yahweh. Neither as being lords over Elohim's heritage. Don't act superior because I have blessed you with knowledge, but teach from the perspective of a humble servant. But being examples of the flock. A good example, according to Yahweh, is the example of a humble servant who has given was given the privilege to teach the word of our Heavenly Father, his eternal truth. Verse 4 goes on to say, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, that would be Messiah, when he returns, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Again and again throughout Scripture, we are told that salvation is a gift that was given to us by our Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son. For all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim, fallen short of following and obeying the words of His Torah of life. And Scripture makes it very clear that the wages of sin, the cost or consequences of transgressing the words of the Father's Torah of life, is death. But because of Messiah's love for us, he took our penalty. He died on the cross instead of us. And that is why salvation is a gift, because we cannot earn it. No one but Elohim can forgive sin. However, the appropriation of that marvelous gift is only attainable by choosing to willingly and lovingly walk on the righteous path that Yahweh has set out for all of his children to walk on from the beginning of time. And, as I said above, the only way to walk on that path of righteousness is by willingly and lovingly choosing to surrender our hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father and make a commitment from that day on we will believe, follow, and obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions. For when we do that, then that path of righteousness is designed to lead us directly and safely to our destination, where we will be awarded the prize that every Torah obedient heart is seeking after at the end of the race. And the race, my friends, is a metaphor for our whole lifespan, our daily walk, which ends when our physical life is over and our spiritual life begins on Resurrection Day. And please understand that to win the prize, one has to willingly persevere and stay on Yahweh's designated path of righteousness right to the end, or else one can be disqualified. And therefore, perseverance, steadfastness, and zealousness is the key to winning the prize at the end of the race, which means that one must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to cause them to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life. Verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That is what Yahweh wants all of us to learn. We must learn to submit to our elders. And since Yahweh has no beginning and no end, then we must learn to submit to the words of his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instruction, the words of his the Father's Torah of life. And we do that by learning to submit to our earthly elders, the people that live Torah-obedient lives and teach others to do the same. Yea, all of you are to be subject one to another and be clothed with what? With humility. Here Peter is admonishing us to be submitted to each other. which means that we are to be transparent and accountable for everything that we say and do, and be willing to answer for all of our deeds, and be ready to repent when we transgress the words of the Father's Torah of life. For there is no man that does not sin, that does not transgress the Father's Torah of life at one time or another in his life. For Elohim resists the proud. Yahweh is making it very clear that we have that if we have pride in our being, it will cause him, the creator of the universe, to resist us. Which means that the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent being or entity will be against the proud person. Therefore, it is a position that I do not recommend that anyone takes, and gives favor, grace to the humble. Do you want to have favor from Yahweh, the creator of the universe? Then leave your pride where it belongs, behind you. Verse 6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of Elohim. If you can truly learn to see our Heavenly Father as He is, which is a loving, caring, compassionate, and forgiving Father, who loves us with an infinite and unending love, then humbling yourselves before Him will be a piece of cake. It will be easy. But if you see Him as an overbearing master, lording it over you, and commanding you to do His will, even though He could quite easily do so, because He is omnipotent, then you will not be able nor willing to humble yourself before Him, and you will be the one that loses out on all of that He has to offer. That He may exalt you in due time. Just let that sink in. That He may exalt you in due time. This is so beautiful that it actually brings tears to my eyes. Peter says that if we humble ourselves before Yahweh, then He will, in His timing, exalt us from in front of everyone. It should be a very easy choice to make, but unfortunately, so many people will indeed resist His inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, which means that they will choose to rely on their own understanding, which in turn means they are proud. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Here, have you ever heard more beautiful or pleasing words than these wonderful words? Peter tells us that we are to cast all of our cares upon Yahweh and learn not to worry and be concerned or anxious anymore. Why are we to take that position? Because Yahweh cares for us. Let that sink in. Yahweh cares for you. Philippians 4, 6, 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget that part. It has to be thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto Elohim, and the peace of Elohim, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua, the words of the living Torah made flesh. Now, what follows is extremely great advice, advice that we can all count on if we have an obedient, surrendered heart to the ways and the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. For that is the only attitude that will help us get through the trials and tribulations that eventually will come our way. For when we willingly choose to obey the words of the Father's Torah of life, we know that our Heavenly Father hears our prayers, because He has said in Proverbs 28:9, he that turns away his ear from hearing, Shema, from believing, following, and obeying the Torah, even his prayer shall be what? Shall be an abomination to me. Which means that if we do not choose, or if we do choose to believe, follow, and obey the words of His Torah of life, then our prayers will not be an abomination to Yahweh, which in turn means He will indeed hear our prayer and answer them. And furthermore, John told us in 1 John 5, 14-15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, Yahweh, that if we ask anything according to His will, that's the caveat, according to His will, He hears us. He does Shema us. And if we know that He hears us, if we know that He does Shema our prayers, then whatsoever we ask Him, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. In other words, obey and be blessed. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, have the mind of Messiah, and don't give up. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, who is as a roaring lion, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. That sounds very scary. But Peter, just like James, tells us how to handle the devil, that is so-called roaring lion that wants to destroy us. He says, resist the devil steadfastly by believing Yahweh, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished to your brethren that are in the world, which means that afflictions have actually happened to everyone. but the Elohim of all grace, Yahweh, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Messiah Yeshua, the words of the living Torah made flesh, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. So once you've suffered a while and accept that make you perfect is the word tamim, which means complete, perfect, whole, sound, healthful, without blemish, innocent, and honest. Establish, the word kum, to stand up, rise, arise, arise, resurrect, stand, was fixed, was valid, was established, was confirmed, ratified, he erected, built, strengthened, amatz, to be strong, was bold, settle you, yashav, to sit, to remain, dwell, stayed, resided, was settled. Now, as all of you know, we do not live in a perfect world, even though Yahweh created it perfect in the first place. For since man has been on the earth, we, through our rebellious, disobedient ways, have polluted Yahweh's beautiful creation. Therefore, in some sense, we are wallowing in our own excrement, our own filthiness, a filthiness that we, as a corporate entity, have created for ourselves. Therefore, each and every one of us will have to, at one point or another, in our lives, go through trials and tribulations, because mankind has overwhelmingly chosen not to believe nor follow the ways and the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father. However, Yahweh promises all people who willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Father's Torah of life, that through that obedience, he will make us perfect, complete, and whole, which means that whatever the enemy has taken from us, whatever we have lost, Yahweh will ensure that it is returned to us. He has also promised to raise us up, help us build our houses, our families, and furthermore, he promises to strengthen us when we need his help. And finally, he has said that he will ensure that we dwell with him for eternity. And that is what Peter means when he says that Elohim is the Elohim of all grace. He is the one that shows favor to all people who willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey the words of the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life. Then Peter blesses Yahweh and tells us that all praise, glory, and dominion belongs to him. And therefore, we are to have the very same attitude that Peter has. Verse 11 says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And Peter concludes by telling us that we are to exhort all of our brothers and sisters to testify to the whole world of the true grace of Elohim and the fact that he loves us and regardless of our many failings. Verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of Elohim wherein you stand. As I explained above, true grace of Elohim is the words contained in the Father's Torah of life, which were manifested in the flesh as our Messiah, who willingly went to the cross of his own volition to save us from eternal damnation. Verse 13, the Kahal, the assembly of believers who are in Babylon and are zealous for the Torah, elected together with you, salute you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of love. Peace be with you all that are in Messiah Yeshua, the words of the living Torah made flesh. The Kahal is you, the assembly of believers worldwide, and as long as we are not in the promised land, we truly are in Babylon, a foreign land, but we must always remember that our true home, our native land, is the kingdom of Elohim, which he has established, is in Israel, and that is where we will spend eternity. Amen. Next year in Yerushalayim. Okay, we're done, Janice. We're done.